Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Byron Community Church, our service here for April 19th. This is our sixth service, I believe, where we're gathering like this, and we're really glad that you've invited us into your homes through YouTube or through listening to the podcast. Now, very quickly, before we begin, youth group, don't forget that there's a special worksheet for you up on the youth page. All right, you can follow along, fill in the blanks. If you get them all filled in, get all the questions answered correctly, send it to me. You're going to have a little prize headed your way. If you're a note taker, feel free to help yourself to that youth page as well. No prize for you, though, King. Excuse me. So the other day after dinner, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm having my coffee. I'm watching the news, and Indigo comes in from the playroom, and she says, "Hockey, please." So I go and say, go get your hockey stick. We can play some hockey. "No, no, no," she says. "Watch hockey." So I flip over to the sports network. They're showing classic games. And they had Detroit versus the St. Louis Blues. This was when Gretzky played for the Blues and once again proved that he could only have success with one team and that he was entirely overrated. Anyways, Indigo says, "No, no, 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 no. Mighty Ducks." So I assume she wants the Mighty Ducks cartoon on Disney Plus. "No, no, no. She wants Mighty Ducks hockey. That's my girl." I flip over to YouTube and I find the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, their journey to the Stanley Cup final from 2003. Indigo, who is just 2 years old, sat on my knee and watched the entire thing for about an hour while I explained to her who the players were, like Jiggy or Paul Kariya, important details of the games and things leading up to it. The NHL has a pretty big journey. 82 games in a regular season just to qualify for the playoff tournament. And then you have to journey through four best-of-seven playoff rounds. I got to relive and share that journey of a hockey playoff run. I got to share that journey with Indigo. The scriptures are filled with journeys. Through the scriptures, we can experience those different journeys. That's what it's all about today. That's our focus, the journey. Now, physically journeying, moving from one place to another, might be involved, but our focus primarily is on the spiritual journey of a Christian. That journey has two essential elements: moving toward a deeper love of God and moving toward a deeper love of others. I think of some of the journeys in the scriptures, right? You have the wise men that journey towards a young Jesus. Jesus ultimately traveling to Jerusalem and then to the cross. You've got Abraham, or Abram leaving his homeland and journeying towards a promised land. You've got Joseph's journey to Egypt, the journey of the people through the desert, and many, many others. Ultimately, the scriptures describe the journey of creation, where creation, Adam and Eve, move from Eden to isolation, blame, and hiding. And the scriptures describe the journey of humanity back towards God's call of love, ultimately culminating with Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, we're going to look at one specific and one quick journey today. Today, we're going to turn to Luke 24, 13 to 35. Grab your Bibles and follow along at home. There, we're going to see the journey to Emmaus. Now, this is Luke 24, right after the women have returned from the empty tomb, and they've told the 11 disciples and the others that are gathered what they saw. And we're going to pick it up, verses 13 to 35. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his scriptures. Now, I told you a few weeks ago, when we looked at lube, lions, and the big finale in 1 Peter, when we examine the entirety of Scripture, ultimately, what's asked of us as followers of Jesus can be summarized in three words: God and others. That idea becomes very clear in this journey to Emmaus. And it's clear that the journey of Christian spirituality always involves moving toward a deeper love of God and a deeper love of others. Now, I don't know what the terrain on the road to Emmaus would have looked like, but very clearly in our text, we are presented with a fork in the road. If we're going to journey with Christ, then we must move towards a deeper love of God and a deeper love of others. But verse 19 tells us very clearly where that journey stops for many people. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a prophet. He's powerful in word and deed. And for so many, that's where their journey stops. Yeah, Jesus was a good guy. He had some good teachings that still live on and are still relevant, and it's there that they veer from the path and go their own direction. The other way is to recognize that, yes, he is what he is described as in verse 19, but Jesus is so much more than that. He is risen. And to confess that Jesus is Lord and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead means that you continue on that journey. So when the journey takes us towards a deeper love of God, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, the world tells you at its best that humanity were this advanced, developed, enlightened, completely self-reliant creature. And at its best, the world tells you that your purpose in life is to discover who you are. Travel, pick up a hobby, incur lots of debt while you do it. That would be helpful to them. And that's their message at its best: discover who you are. But we cannot discover who we truly are and who we are meant to be on our own. Our own weak attempts at self-reliance cannot and do not reveal who you are and who you are meant to be. Jesus knows who you really are, and he came here to tell you about it. You cannot find your true identity in the wisdom of this age. Your identity can only be revealed through an encounter with the Christ. In John 14, we're told we can only come to God through Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who comes to Jesus is a new creation. The old, worldly, fleshy pursuits are gone. The new creation is here. The new creation, that's what you're meant to be. That's who you are meant to be. Your identity is found in Christ. And your journey as a Christian must carry you deeper into love and understanding of God. So they're walking, they're journeying with Jesus. They don't recognize him, they don't know it's Jesus. But once Jesus has joined the conversation, what does he do? He rebukes them for being slow of heart to believe. We need to know our scriptures. We need to understand them. We need to take them seriously. That's one of the ways, and that's a big way that God and that Jesus can and reveal and will reveal himself to you. We just need to jump down to verse 32 of our passage. Once they realize that it's Jesus, they talk about how their hearts burned. They didn't burn when Jesus looked into their eyes. Their hearts didn't burn because it was a beautiful day walking on their road. Their hearts burned. Their hearts were on fire. They were filled with emotion when Jesus spoke to them and opened the scriptures to them. Look, I know in many ways, this physical distancing, this shutdown is a pain in the neck. But it's also an opportunity. Get into the scriptures or get back into the scriptures. Investigate it for yourself. you may not have another chance like this, where maybe you have a little extra time on your hands. I urge you to take advantage. Get into the scriptures. Find a rhythm of regular reading and regular study, because there you will encounter Jesus. You may not know it at first, but you'll feel it, because your heart will burn. I know that can be a big task. You might need some help with that. Listen, the building might be closed, but the church isn't closed. The church is still hard at work. Where to begin with the Bible? Maybe you need some devotion guides, or even where to begin if you're not sure, but you want to investigate who this Jesus is. We can help you, so connect with us. The journey of Christian spirituality moves us to a deeper love and deeper understanding of God. But there is a price that you're going to have to pay. There's a price, and that price is fear. The fear is the price you're going to pay to move deeper. To move further along in your journey, you have to give up where you are and move towards something. Maybe that something is a little bit unknown, and that can be scary. Moving deeper, though, certainly may not require a physical moving towns or something like that, but it may mean lifestyle changes or social changes or developing good habits like reading scripture. And that may mean you have less time to waste time. As you move into uncharted territory, it can be scary. Abram leaves his homeland and his people, and he doesn't even really know where he's going. We looked at Joseph not too long ago. His journey is full of frustration and fear and the unknown. Jesus himself, I think, gives us the perfect example during the Easter story. This is right at the last leg of his physical journey on earth. He's had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he hasn't been arrested yet. And we read in Matthew 26 that Jesus is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he prays, "May this cup be taken from me." But he can't stay where he is. He has to move deeper. Through the sorrow, through the stress, and it's certainly not a stretch to say that Jesus would have been afraid of the pain that was coming. He moves deeper towards the love of God. "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." Fear is the price you're going to pay to move to a deeper love and a deeper understanding of God. I've moved towns a lot, sometimes even provinces, a fair amount of times in my life, I think maybe 9 or 10 times. And the first many of those happened when I was a kid. We always got to discuss family moves together, and we always looked at it as a new adventure. But those weren't my moves, right? As an adult, I've changed provinces 3 times. Orangeville, Ontario, back to my homeland of Winnipeg, Manitoba for school. Then back to Ontario for a bit before moving to Vancouver Island, and then coming here to Byron. Each move was the result of feeling called by God to make the move. Through prayerful discernment, I knew I had to leave Orangeville and go to school in Winnipeg. It was brutal. I was a youth director with activities and programs expanding at solid rates. The church I was part of was a fantastic community, just built a brand new building in an upcoming neighborhood, and Sarah was here. We go back that far, been together since we were 16. I didn't want to move to Winnipeg. It's the greatest city in the country, but I didn't want to move there. It was hard. It was tearful. I didn't want to go. But I knew I had to go, because it's what God had clearly called me to do. Fear was the price I paid to move to a deeper love and understanding of God. My other big moves, in the same way, we were led to them through prayerful discernment, but it was cake. I had done it before. "God, if this is where you want me to go, we've done this. I trust you. Let's go." Now, it doesn't mean everything went smoothly or that there weren't stresses or hard goodbyes. But deciding that first time to trust God, to let God's will dictate my actions instead of my own will, moved me to a deeper love of God and a deeper understanding of God. Do you remember that lion part of our March 22nd sermon? Right, we talked about a lion. It's our enemy on the prowl, and his aim is to keep us from Jesus. But if our enemy can't do that, then what he wants you to do is to be a stagnant, ineffective believer. But your spiritual journey as a Christian must move you deeper. And you need to be prepared because fear is the price you're going to pay. It's that fork in the road at Emmaus. Are you going to stop at verse 19? Yeah, Jesus was cool with some nice teachings. Or will you keep going further? Jesus is Lord. Again, the spiritual journey of a Christian is basically about God and others. And I'd argue that any development, any major development or transformation in your life begins by meeting the other as your neighbor. As my old professor Charles Fincham would say, we need to encounter the other in Jesus the Messiah, who is linked to the other in our neighbor. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, illustrates this perfectly for us. There, Jesus refuses to separate the notion of loving others, particularly the most vulnerable, from the ultimate redemptive embrace of God. Jesus makes it very clear, if you truly love me, then love others. When Jesus reinstates Peter in the Gospel of John, he asks, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. In Jesus' story in Matthew 25, we are judged in the light of our journey towards the other. We are judged by our loving others and by our doing of justice. Now, in the parable of Matthew 25, the people ask, Jesus, when did we visit you? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? And Jesus replies, when you did this for the least of these, you did for me. And in the parable, those who did nothing, they ask, when didn't we do this for you? And Jesus says, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Now, some people might try to spin that by saying, that's a slippery slope to salvation by works. Those people are wrong. You're not saved by works. That's very clear in Scripture. But loving others in a tangible way, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoner or the sick, doing justice, it's the expectation that Jesus puts on us. Follow me, Jesus says, but be prepared, because this is what it looks like. This is what the journey is. In Philippians 2, we're called to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. This working out occurs when we love and serve the other, because it's there that we encounter Jesus. One of my favorite events that happens here at Byron Community Church is the RAC Holiday Dinner. Now, RAC, R-H-A-C, that stands for the Regional HIV/AIDS Connection of London. They have what RAC calls their holiday dinner, but what their guests call the Christmas dinner. And it's a wonderful group. It's a group of people with different experiences, different walks of life. There's some older people, there's some younger people, and there's a good number of kids at that event, too. And the volunteers that put it all together are from different age groups and walks of life. But in one way or another, the people at that dinner have all had their lives impacted by HIV and AIDS. And I love that event for one main reason. Yeah, it's fun to dress up as Frosty the Snowman and put some smiles on faces and sweat to death meeting all of the kids and families. But that's not why it's my favorite event. Through the entire event, you can feel the presence of Jesus in a really unique way, because we're able to really love the other, to love our neighbors, and not just our neighbors that live right next to us and look like us and are very similar to us, but loving our neighbors who are a little bit different from us. Even loving our neighbors who maybe make lifestyle choices that we perhaps don't even agree with. Jesus is there. He's at the table eating with the guests. He's in the sound booth making it happen. He's at the photo spot. When I was lonely, you visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Your journey as a Christian must include moving to a deeper love of others. On the road to Emmaus, they get rebuked for being slow of heart to believe, but they also show that love of others. Remember, they don't recognize that it's Jesus, but when this stranger joins this conversation, they include him, and they walk with him along the road. They could have easily dismissed him or said, something to get rid of him. I mean, they're mourning. They're not in a great mood. They could have ignored him. They could have shooed him away. But they journey with him. And they talk with him. They get rebuked by this guy who they don't even know, or at least they don't recognize, and still they journey with him. But it gets better, right? Because when they approach the village and it's nearly nighttime, what happens? Well, Jesus acts as if he's going a little bit further, but they strongly urge him or they constrain him to stay with them. They give him a place to stay. And they're going to sit down and eat together. These followers of Jesus demonstrate what it is to love the other. And then in this act of breaking bread together, in communing together, in loving the other, they finally see that the other that sits at the table before them is actually Jesus. When we come together in community and love one another and love the others, Jesus is there, and you'll recognize him. On Good Friday, during communion, we said that it's like his invitation to his dinner table, to come and sit and be part of the family. Isn't it interesting that once they've invited this stranger around the dinner table, and once they give thanks and break the bread together, that's when they realize it's Jesus. It's around the table that the others become family. That's sort of a bonus point. I just throw that one in for free, but it's two bonus points for a dollar, because once they recognize Jesus, it says that he disappeared from their sight. It doesn't say that he left them. They just couldn't see him. Jesus is with you, even when you can't see him, but I promise you'll recognize him as you move towards a deeper love of God and a deeper love of others. Now, maybe someday I'll explain why the Anaheim Ducks are so important to me. It's more than just a hockey team, but I really do enjoy sharing hockey and sharing the Ducks with Indigo. Maybe she'll grow up to be a hockey fan one day. But sharing hockey history and hockey journeys is just fun. The important part is sharing scriptures, sharing mine and Sarah's faith journey. Tamu is cool, but Jesus rules. Equipping her to understand scriptures and to debunk nut jobs who twist scripture and help her on her own journey of faith as it develops, that's the most important. Everybody listening to this has a sphere of influence, but I'm talking to young families especially right now. If your kids are older than the toddler stage, then they're going to remember this experience. They're going to look back on it and likely not have any idea of what the details are about what's going around in the world right now. But they're going to remember the time they spent with you. They're going to remember sitting around the table having dinner together without anybody in the family having to rush off to work or to any number of activities. They're going to remember making those Sunday school crafts at home with you. And listen, if I can test the crafts out and make them, then there is no excuses. Or they're going to remember the family game nights or whatever other things you're doing to fill your days. You've got a golden opportunity to start or to solidify some faith-building habits. Habits that will help move them and you to a deeper love of God and a deeper love of others. Take advantage. Now, to wrap up our time together, I want to lean on the teachings of my old professor, Charles Fincham, who once referred to me as Harry Potter. Paul writes in Acts 17, 28, he insists that we live and move and have our being in God. To say that we live and move and have our being in God is just another way of saying that we live in the journey of God and creation. God is not the God of Greek philosophy or a God who doesn't feel our struggle or pain. We are in God, who is impassioned by our struggles as creatures. We are in God, who loves us and loves creation. We are in God, that loved us so much that he made room for you at the dinner table. He is God the room maker. God is hospitality in being. God is community in relationship. God fully encompasses us, but God lets us live and move and make decisions in freedom. Will you journey with Christ? Will you stop at verse 19, or are you going to keep going? Will you stay still and be stagnant? Or are you ready? Are you prepared to journey further and pay the price of fear? Will you choose to build the habits that will move you towards a deeper love of God and a deeper love of others? After all, that's what the essence of the 66 books of Scripture comes down to: God and others. Amen.